You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of the Broadway Husbands Podcast. I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We are just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands Podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast network you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Also, visit us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands, online at the BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com/Broadway Husbands, because we are proud members of the Broadway Podcast Network. So today, this is our seventh episode.
What?
Crazy.
Time flies.
And it's been really fun getting some awesome responses from you guys, getting to talk to other couples if you've listened to past episodes. But we also know that we are coming into a brand new year. It is 2020.
The future. Doesn't that sound so futuristic? 2020. I mean, that's crazy, yeah. Right? Ugh.
Well, here we are. And it is an election year. And
it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Something I was thinking would be interesting to talk about for us, and hopefully that would be helpful for you guys, is to talk about family and politics and how to sort of save and salvage relationships in your life, because we've learned a lot through the last few years. As I'm sure many people have, it's been a very tumultuous time in our country politically, and we want to offer some advice and help you guys through that as we get into this election year.
And we don't necessarily want to talk about politics per se. It's just more about like
how to handle
things that have happened to us and, you know, which things we've learned and what we did and what worked and what didn't.
Yeah, which will hopefully help you guys get a who are going into this year, maybe avoid some of the mistakes we've made. And
we haven't made any mistakes.
Or things we've learned. Okay, but first, we do want to give you a little bit of update on what's happening with us and our baby process.
Yes. So was it the day before Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the day before Thanksgiving. We got some news that...
First off, we were very ready to go. We got lawyers involved. We got everything ready to go. Yeah. We had money in escrow. Like this moment that we've been working towards for
2 years.
2 years.
We were all ready to go.
Ready to go. We matched with our surrogate. I'm talking like I'm not here. Me, I ended up getting this Broadway show. And so we were like, okay, we actually can move forward with this. And so we got the contract sent off to the surrogate that we matched with. And we matched with her in March. And she was very patient and had said, if we try before December, no problem.
Yeah.
So
all of our ducks were in a row, and then we got the call that she had backed out. So we were like just about to plan the dates for her to come and do the first implantation, and we were super excited.
All she had to do was sign the contract. It was ready to go, and so she bailed.
Yeah, she bailed. So it's interesting that day, like, I definitely was really upset. I think Brett was a little bit more upset than I was because I don't know why you were, but I mean, it was an upsetting day, but
it was a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, but it also just felt like for me, like it felt like, well, it's still a step forward because getting, you know, moving on to the next person is a step closer to being pregnant, and this wasn't the right match. And
for those of you that don't know, if you haven't followed or don't know anything about surrogacy, she's not the egg donor. She's just the gestational carrier. Yeah.
So she's not genetically attached.
This woman who we had met and we had flown to meet our doctor. So we'd lost some money on it. And
for sure,
we also were very invested in her and her husband. And we met them and we treated them to a day in New York. So it was very disappointing in that.
Super disappointing.
We thought she was invested in us and she kind of gave up on it. And that was hard.
And you know, who knows the reasons? Yeah. And you know, it's all good. And because we're moving forward and talking with other people.
And that's the thing that we kind of came to is like, it's better that that happens now than when she's pregnant and or something
yeah, who
else.
Knows?
And
yeah.
So the right person is going to come along.
Yeah.
But
it's upsetting because, you know, you get so excited in this process. I find that like a lot of time goes by and we're waiting for things to happen. Then all of a sudden, like all of the stuff is ready and goes and it moves really fast. But then this was one of those moments where it was like, it was about to all happen. And then like, it didn't. And that's kind of been like, kind of par for the course with this sort of so far.
Yeah. And it's really hard to like some other friends of ours just had a baby and they had it through surrogacy and watching them be able to, they had such an easy process. I mean, at least relatively and like seeing it from our point of view,
social media makes everything look pretty good. So, you know,
we just want to be really honest and tell you guys like, it's a really hard process. It's taking a lot longer than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But the right person is going to come along.
Yeah. It's all going to work out. And 2020, since we're talking about 2020, 2020 will be the year.
Yes.
Of baby Hannah Shuford.
Baby Hannah Shuford.
Yay.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about political, like how we've dealt with our family. Excuse me. How we've dealt with, I'm having some sparkling water and it just burns.
Sparkling water will really get you.
So the last election was rough. It was rough. So my family is in Texas. Okay, so that's all you need to know. Really, is my Texas family is die hard. They will live and die hard Republicans, and that is just how it is. That's how it's always been. And it seems, to my chagrin, that that is true no matter who is running in the Republican Party. And I always thought, well, maybe this, you know, the last election things would shift or who knows, right? It's very confusing. I've even had to restrict some family members on Facebook because their posts are very confusing. They'll post things like, you know, very pro-gun, you know, Democrats want to take away our guns and they, you know, anti-abortion things. And then like, I love my gay son, you know, or I love my gay cousins or whatever. Right. And it's very confusing and frustrating. And so I've learned over the years, like I just restrict them. It's not like I unfriend them, but I just don't want to see their posts in my stories because they upset me. It upsets me on a lot of levels. It has nothing to, most of it has to do with the human level and less to do with like a politics level. And as far as I'm concerned, like I will vote for the person who's the most humane. Like it's not about party for me. Like it's not about the Democrat or Republican Party. In fact, I was very disappointed in the Democratic Party in the last election and how everything played out and who got nominated and how it all worked out. Like, so I feel like I voted for the person that I thought was the most humane, who was the most experienced, and that was my feeling on it, right? I'm getting into hot water here, right?
You are, but that's okay. But that's okay. But I also want to say, like, I think it's interesting, too, is that, I mean, maybe I just am not really paying as much attention right now as I was, but it seems like 3 years ago, social media was, like, kind of really controlling a lot of the political landscape, and there was a lot of just people were getting their news from social media. And I feel like that's not necessarily the case today. And I definitely have hope that this coming year, that will be a little bit different than it was maybe the last time. And I think that, you know, maybe that was part of everything that was going down was that the social media thing. Was
maybe so much of it was fake, quote unquote, fake news. Yeah. But like what's interesting for me, what happens for me politically in regards to family, and maybe it's some of you, especially coming off the heels of the holiday, some of you can relate, is that it brings back a lot of old feelings from my childhood of not fitting in, of not belonging. I'm the black sheep. I'm the gay one, the liberal one, the one who moved to New York City and became one of those Yankees. Whatever, right? Like that's literally.
And then he met me and I made him gay.
but it brings up a lot of old history where I don't feel supported on a deeper level than just on the surface, right? They love me, they support me, but then because they're not voting in favor of my rights or in favor of what I think are the more humane rights, I feel like it means that they don't support me. And that's so I just want to say, like, that's where a lot of my defense comes up. And maybe you can identify with that. Maybe if you're feeling like other people, like some of our anger and frustration that can come up for us who maybe lean more left can come from that place. And I think we have to own that and be aware of it. And I know for me, I have to own that and not make that their issue. However, I always care so much about them being educated and them being what everything they come from. I want it to be based in fact, and I want it to be based in truth. And quite often what I see them spouting is not true fact. It's not based, it's coming off of fake, quote unquote, fake news, slanted news, whatever, those things that you, the memes that you see on Facebook. I mean,
so what is it that you do to?
So what I try to do is only post things that I think are backed up by fact.
So like a reliable news source.
Reliable news source, and I check them. I always check the source.
A real publication.
A real publication. Okay. NPR is always a good source. I try to not go too far left
or too far right.
I will never go too far right. But you know, that's always been my goal. But then what I learned, so I want to tell this story, is I learned, what was it? I guess it's been 4 years now.
It was the August of 2017.
Yeah.
August 2017.
I woke up, it was a Saturday morning. I woke up and saw that a very close family member had made a post on Facebook saying that, you know, very much in defense of Donald Trump and very much in defense of his relationship with Kim Jong-un. And then in the same post related it to how liberals want to take away our guns. And it just like none of these things had anything to do with each other. And it was very frustrating because it was just a very close family member. And so I was like, Brett, don't react. Don't react.
So then what did you do?
So I tried not to react. I went to yoga. I tried to breathe through it. I'm in downward dog and all I can think about is this post. And so I wrote back and said, you know, I would never want to base my opinion, like, because he was calling liberals, like, you know, kind of demeaning liberals, right? And I was like, that's not really fair. And I would never do that to conservatives. I would never.
He was also saying names that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just said, hey, you know, if you want to talk about this, we can talk about this, but these things aren't related, like guns and Kim Jong-un and Trump, and like, that's all different topics. And if you want to actually have a conversation about this, have a conversation about it. And he just wrote back, you're an asshole. And that was really hurtful. And it made sense because that's kind of what our president does when he doesn't like what somebody says. He just calls them names. And so it made sense in that that's how people are feeling. And that's, they just feel like, well, I have permission now to just do that.
So then what happened? What did you do when?
I said, you're calling me names. I'm going to unfriend you. I don't need to be friends with somebody on Facebook, regardless of who they are, who's going to be nasty to me. And when I did that, this was the same day as the Charlottesville riots.
Yeah.
So it felt like the world was sort of collapsing around me that day.
Yeah.
And I remember you came home and I told you about it. And
yeah,
you
I had no idea you told me about it.
And you went and looked
and
it up.
I went and saw
and
it.
You got upset.
And I got upset. And then there was another post after you had unfriended him. And so then, you know, because we're married, we are the Broadway husbands, you know, I felt like I couldn't just sit back and kind of let these comments go. So I commented back and I was just, I didn't say anything, you know, mean, or I just said, if you have something to say to Brett, his phone number is, and then I wrote his phone number in the comments, because there were just comments flying around that just weren't very nice. And then I was told that to stay in my lane and that it was none of my business. And I said, well, you're making fun of my husband on a public social media platform. It is my business. And then I think from that moment on, I went on to just unfriend them too, because I just didn't want to be a part of it. And I didn't, you know,
he made another post.
Yeah.
After I unfriended them, where right. He called me a snowflake bitch. Like,
and that was where I was commenting. And then, you know, when I realized that it was like sort of irrational, you know,
right. There was nothing you could do. That was the thing I realized, like, I can't do anything about this. Like, this is something they feel they need to express and do. And this is how that, and it definitely felt like this is where our country is headed. And, it's very frustrating.
But this is kind of silly. Yeah. I'm just going to like make it a little lighter.
Yeah.
I'd never heard the name Snowflake before, and I was like, I just felt very naive. I was like, what does that mean? Like, I don't even know what that means.
And I was like, that's what they're calling liberals.
So that's
because we're frail.
But apparently that's a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was tough, man. That was a really tough time. And so I'm nervous about this new election, and I'm nervous that like the same energy exists right now. And it's just, you see it coming out with this whole impeachment process. And so what do we do now? So how do we handle it now? We just don't talk about politics. Like, when we're with our family, we just don't talk about it. And my mom has definitely tried to bring it up with me there. And I definitely, my defenses come up because, like I said, I have this like history of feeling like I gotta try to win them over or something. And I, you know, I remember she said some ridiculous things about, you know, how Trump wants to help Jewish people. It was crazy. And I was like, how many Jewish people do you know? None. So, you know, it's just a very interesting conversation to try to have where you realize I can't have this conversation. So just don't. You just don't.
My advice to somebody who's like an in-law in this situation is just to remember that they will always love their son or daughter, but they may not forgive the one that's married into the family. So what I normally do is
get more coffee.
I'm like, ooh, I think I need another cup of coffee. And I get up and walk away. Or my favorite thing recently was somebody in your family was talking about the impeachment. And I just brought up, you know, the first impeachment process and like talked about that. Mm-hmm. And like went, like Googled it and like read the historical facts about that. And they didn't realize that there was, you know, when the first impeachment was. And so that was how that's how I deflected that. Because, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, they're always going to love Brett. But I feel like they will.
And I love them too. I love them too. But, you know, you realize it's probably, and they see it the same way with us, that we are living in a quote unquote bubble. And I feel the same way about them. And I'm sure they think that too, where everyone we're surrounded by has similar beliefs, similar conversations, similar support around similar candidates. And so you can't, you know, when we live this life, the life we live and they live their life, you can't really impede on that. And the thing that I just always try to do, and this is the best way I would say, is just try to gently educate. I just suggest to my dad, you should just look at Pete Buttigieg. He's a military, you know, ex-military, he's Christian, you know, just look at him, you know. I try not to be like, no, he's the one or whomever. Cause I don't even know that he's the one, but I, you know, I just think that it's about gently nudging and planting seeds and then letting go of the rest.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You know?
Oh, wait, where my favorite was. There was an ad for Bloomberg recently, and a family member of yours said, they just want to beat Trump. And my comment was, whoa, I didn't even know Bloomberg was a Democrat. And then I walked away. Anyway.
Which is funny. He just wants to beat Trump. And it's like, well, what do you think Trump's doing?
And I just like ran away.
So we hope this helps you. It's been a...
But like, honestly, let's talk about the way I think that we kind of have healed through, you know, because there was a lot of hurt and pain around this topic. You know, I'm really good at laughing about things right now, but it was honestly like super hurtful to my husband, and I hurt when I see him in this much pain. And so like, it was really hard for us to get through this. It took time. And, you know, ultimately, you know, you have to understand that your family does love you. And at the end of the day, that they're always going to be there, and that, you know, everything is going to change. Nothing is permanent. Things are temporary. And that, like, deep down, that love is there. And
yeah, I think one of the big things that happened for us this year, sorry if I interrupted you.
Ugh. Now you're interrupting me.
I'm just kidding. We spent 5 weeks with them in the summer. And one of the big things that helped me was this is my big piece of advice for anyone out there who's going through the same thing. Set your expectations that they're going to be exactly who they are. Mm-hmm. Stop expecting them to be who you want them to be. Mm-hmm. Expect them to be exactly who they're going to be. They like their Make America Great Again hats. They go to church. They don't understand the things you understand. So set the expectation that that's who they are. And the minute I did that, I had such a better time with them, because I didn't expect them to be something that they weren't. And it's not my job to make them who I think they're supposed to be, just like it wasn't their job to force me to be who they wanted me to be. So I think that if anything, as the year goes on, just start to set the expectations that who you see is who they are, and love them for that, and forgive them for the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I think that a thing that helped us come to terms and love each other just a little bit more through all that was that, you know, our life experience, you know, we had kind of had a weird year and felt kind of used by various things in our life, so that when we were around them, you know,
their love is pretty unconditional.
Yeah. Their love is extremely unconditional. And, and that's, you know, that's all it is, really.
So we hope this helps you. And let's get to our next segment, which we call
Spotlight
on Love. So we reached out to some of y'all on Instagram. And Rob, let me see what's Rob's handle. Rob W. Lou 13 asks, it's a very brief question, but we're going to fluff it up a little bit.
Oh, but we're going to tackle it head on.
He said, how do you get started? Or meaning, when do you know to go from friend to romantic? Which is, I think it's a good topic for us, because that's how we started. We were friends.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the deal. Like, I mean, if I'm speaking totally personally, like I think ultimately, like, I always wanted to be a little bit more than friends when I met you. And so maybe that was why I was friends with you. I don't really know. But but definitely there was some sort of attraction. And I wish I could just say it was I wanted to be your friend, but I think I wanted to be a little bit more. So
really?
Yeah. Aww. So, I mean, but, you know, for me, like in that situation, the green light was like, I wasn't in a relationship anymore. And then once you told me that you weren't in a relationship anymore, then it was, guess what? It's time not to be friends anymore.
I think communication is, I mean, it's so basic to say this, but like any relationship, it just requires communication, and especially early on. I mean, I remember one of the things with Steven that was really cool was that when we first started dating, I remember I was reading this book, this Susie Orman book about money.
Oh, right.
And one of the things that Susie Orman suggested was like, when you first start dating somebody, don't be afraid to have a conversation about money early on.
Do you remember this?
Yeah. And I was like, oh.
And wait, like now that I'm thinking about this, this was like really early on when we did this. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Steven.
Yeah.
We need to talk about finances.
Yeah. And we did.
And we did. And we looked at your numbers and you were like, you had no idea how much credit card debt you had.
I didn't have any credit card debt.
And you added all of it up. And this is how I knew, like, I wanted to... Like, there was something special about you.
Me?
Well, that I knew early on. But you were like, oh, wow, I have all this credit card debt. And Brett and I were having the conversation, like, I should wipe it out. So you, like, went on this, like, rampage and got all these Nutcracker gigs.
I did a lot of Nutcracker gigs. I did another gig that paid off.
One of the cards.
Yeah, completely. It was, like, a complete, yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. Like, first off, he's got that kind of talent that people can pay him that much to do that. That's cool. But you like really set out to do something and then you like did it. Yeah. And I was like,
well, with the help of your suggestion.
Oh.
But I mean, I think I was, you know, I was trying to fix that anyways. But yeah.
I remember that being really impressive. So it was just like, you just see like, you can see I remember very early on in like my dating life here in New York, somebody had said to me once, you can't hold out for potential. Like what you see is what you get when you first start dating.
Hmm.
And so if you think that, well, there's potential, he potentially could be the right person for me, or he potentially could be my husband. That's not going to work because you can't date somebody for potential. And I remember like, and it's been proved to be true, like all these years, like who Steven was is exactly who he is. And, you know, we grow and we change in our own ways, but there's still that essence is still there. We still have the same recurring fight about initiative, right? And he laughs if we see a play and somebody says the word initiative. He just laughs.
Like, oh my God.
But I remember like, those were the things that impressed me. And I was like, oh, wow, he's really like says what he means. And he's very honest and he's thorough. And
well, I think also for me, I think it was like my past dating or relationships were like kind of tumultuous. And like usually we fought a lot. There's a lot of fighting and it just was like so not easy. And also like I think that a lot of the people that I was with like and dated before were like people that I like really like went after and like they really didn't like me kind of in the beginning. Like that's a sign you should, but I was like determined and it just wasn't like that with us.
Yeah, so. It was like easy. And you were so laid back and fun. Yeah. And so anyway, the point of like, when do you know? It's when you see that it's more than potential. I think it's when you see that like what you want is there.
And also, like, you're just able to be yourself and you feel that if you do make the move, that they will make the move back and be okay with it.
But I think the thing that some people don't do is they don't get clear on what they want
mm-hmm.
before. And so sometimes I think I tell young people, quote unquote young, you know, I'm like in this show now and there's a bunch of like 20-year-olds in the show and I'm like, here's my advice. You know, I don't know. I'm smoking. I'm like, can the adults please smoke? But I always say like date around, you're not going to know what you want until you've tried, you know, and seen what your options are. And that dating around for me was like the ways that I was able to go, I want that. I don't want that. I want this. I want that. And so when I met Steven, I was definitely nervous about committing too early on. Because he just was, I remember saying this out loud to somebody, he's so available.
Great.
Which is exactly great. What you want.
Great.
That in a relationship.
Makes me look, just sound like.
No, but you were so like available.
I'm available.
Which is exactly what people want.
Would you want to date me? Just like, please date me. Oh, please.
No, you were just so, anything I said, you would be like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's do it.
You know? Well, because ultimately, I think I knew that I really liked you and like I wanted it to work. And like I remember at one point, you're like, maybe we should take a break. And I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah. I was
because
like,
I knew like if it was meant to be, it would work out because I knew how I felt. And so.
And that's when I knew that he was the one. So, you know, I wanted somebody who was, there was no drama, and it was really fun.
But there's still drama.
We have our moments.
Lots. No. But so, I mean, I think there's a lot of difference.
I want to interrupt you
yeah,
guys.
I want to know.
Yeah, this is Alan, folks.
What do you guys, what do the two of you still fight about the most?
Initiative. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, God. I mean, maybe initiative, but maybe, like, I find that I usually get upset about leaving when we're trying to leave. I always feel like you're rushing me. That's usually what I get upset about. I'm like, stop rushing me. I'm not ready. Like, please stop.
Meanwhile, I'm just standing by the door. I'm not even saying anything. I'm literally just standing there, and he's like, you're rushing me. I'm like, I'm just standing here waiting, getting out of your way.
Or it's like, if we both have to get ready and leave at the same time, Brett likes to just like pretend like he's not going to get ready until I get ready first. And then he's like, we're going to be late. I'm like, yeah, because you didn't start getting ready. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, you're waiting for me to just like start. And I'm like, why is it always going to be me?
Yeah, I mean,
that's no, we're not really fighting, but
we don't really fight. We get into these little like scuffles, and then it's like it never happened. But I think that, you know, this last year we definitely have had some moments, but it's mostly because we've been so insecure individually.
We're so stressed out.
Financially.
Both of us had like many breakdowns many times a week. Mm-hmm. And we both knew that it wasn't really about us, that it was about our situation and many other things. And we would just kind of let the other one go through their tantrum is basically what it was, and we move on. Okay, are you done? All right, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that this whole year has been sort of, the fact that we're still together after these last 2 years is a testament to how much this relationship works. But I think that, you know, the one thing that we still have conversations about, that we've had conversations about since day one, is initiative. Where, and what I mean by that is, like, I remember it was, on a small scale, it was like Steven would go to bed and leave the lights on, and I'd be like, can you just turn the lights off for you?
So now we have Alexa, and we can just say, Alexa turn
does
the
it for us. and on a large scale, like things like today, we had to do some photos, and I was like, we've had this on the calendar for 2 weeks, and Steven's like, I don't know what I'm going to wear.
Well, I had one outfit for sure, and then you're like, well, I have three, and I'm like, well, I don't, and then again, the same thing with the time thing was that we were doing alternate side of the street parking this morning. Uh-huh. I'm doing the first half, he's doing the second half. We have to be at the photo shoot at 11. He doesn't come down to the car until like 9:50. And so then I have, you know, I mean, I don't have that much time to like shower and sort of, we hadn't eaten, right? Yeah. So that's typically probably why I'm fighting, is because I'm always hungry.
Always hungry.
And I'm like, I need to eat. Like, why haven't we eaten?
Yeah. He's always hungry. You cannot keep him fed.
Yeah. I mean, you got to eat. I don't know.
So we've gone.
Did we answer your question?
I don't even know if we answered your question, dude, but we hope that helps you in some form. If you want relationship and dating advice from our completely unqualified selves, shoot us a DM on Instagram at Broadway Husbands, or shoot us an email on BroadwayHusbands.com, and we just might choose your question on the next episode.
Also, to guarantee you receive our advice, consider becoming a patron on Patreon, and you can join us on a live episode to ask your question. Check out this plus an array of other benefits at patreon.com/BroadwayHusbands for more details.
Yes. So thank you for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast, and we will look forward to talking to you in the next episode.
Yay! Yay. And remember...
Oh, and remember... Love who you love.
And love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.